Good morning, everybody. This is the final installment of the series on Chazon Yeshayahu. Well, depending on how things turn out over the next few days, we'll see what we see for that for next week. We have to discuss. We learned the text. We asked some questions. We saw some themes. But now we have to address the question that we always have to address when we learn a Haftarah. After we learn a Haftarah, after we understand the context a little bit, we have to understand what has to do with either the Parsha, or in this case, the Tekufa that we're in. So it's obvious that it connects to the Churban HaBayis. The question is that there are a lot of texts throughout Tanakh, throughout Nevi'im, that connect to the Churban HaBayis. For example, the actual narrative of the Churban HaBayis itself, which is in Malachim, at the end of Malachim. So that might be a really good thing to learn. Why aren't we learning that? And you could also ask, there are many other nevuos. Like, why was Yirmiyahu chosen from the previous 2 weeks and Yeshayahu now? Like, what are we supposed to learn from this in particular? Anytime you open up a Haftarah and it's the words of a Navi, it's important, Musar, that you're supposed to hear. We mentioned already the Gemara, that if it's recorded in Nevi'im, it's relevant Lidoros. That there are more generations that can benefit from it. So why is the Haftarah chosen? So I think the reason that the story of Malachim, meaning of the Churban HaBayis in Sefer Malachim, is not recorded, I think that's clear. There are, I think, multiple levels to reason. First of all, we don't want to read that on Shabbos. You know, we're not supposed to have public avelos on Shabbos. The minhag here is to lane a lot of the Haftarah with the Eichatun. That's minhag here. But a lot of people don't do that. In Chabad, they don't do that. Other minhagim do not do that because they don't want to have any, you know, shemets of Eicha on Shabbos. We mentioned also there's a pasuk in this week's parsha with the word Eicha, and some people lean it to the Eicha tune, and some people say, no, Chas v'Shalom, you do such a thing. So there could be a reluctance to read about such destruction on Shabbos. Right? We know that we end with positive words. Yesterday, we finished the text of the Haftarah, and it has Shiva Shavtayach Korishana Yatsayak Patchila Achrikin Yikari Lach Ir Hatzedek Kirya Nemona. Right, it ended positively. We said here some Moser, but then ended positively. To talk about the Churban HaBayis would be not so Shabbistic. But I don't think that's the reason. I think that could be part of it. But another part of it is that if you read Malachim, so it might seem like a history lesson, something that happened a long time ago. But the difference between like something like a narrative you're reading that's a history lesson and a nevuah is, as we said, the nevuah is not talking just to the people in the story. Meaning, we're not reading a story about Yeshayahu talking to people. What's happening here? And we're learning the Haftarah. If we read the end of Malachim, we read a story about how some really evil people destroyed the base of Mekdash. If you read a nevuah, what are you reading? Are you reading someone talking to somebody? No. Yeshayahu is talking to you. And it's not just, he wasn't just talking to the generation before Churban HaBayis Rishon. He was also talking to the generation before Churban HaBayis Sheni, and also the generation after Churban HaBayis Sheni, or of Churban HaBayis Sheni, which is us, telling us what needs to be done to fix things up and turn Tisha B'Av around. So when you read a Nevuah, you feel it's more talking to you. And right now, especially during 3 weeks, especially during the 9 days, especially Shabbos Chazon, we need to hear Hashem talking to us. We need to know the message. Sometimes it's good to be informed of just general knowledge and historical knowledge. That's good. But sometimes you really need to listen up, find out what we need to do, and that's the perfect time is over here. But I think even more than that, especially the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, it's not Tisha B'Av. And if Shabbos Chazon is not Tisha B'Av, that means that we didn't read the Churban yet. Like, why would you read Churban HaBayis before it took place? It's better to do in, like, basically in real time. This is the before the Churban. As we said earlier, every Tisha B'Av that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's like it's being destroyed on that day. Meaning, it could be, we could kind of see it as if we have a Beis HaMikdash, and then on Tisha B'Av this year, if we're fasting, you should see that as the Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in our time. And it's not just like a you know, it's as if. It basically is. Because if we would have a Beis HaMikdash, it would be destroyed for the same reasons that it was destroyed in past generations. That's why it has not yet been rebuilt. So we're standing not on Tisha B'Av, a day of Korban, but we're standing a few days before that. Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before we are at the during the Churban HaBayis. And therefore, why would you read about the destruction? If we're going back in time for a minute, we're not going back in time to the Churban HaBayis. We're going back in time to some point before the Churban HaBayis when it was not yet too late. It's a Shabbos Chazon. It's Chazon Yeshayahu. Shabbos Chazon is a Shabbos of vision. There's vision that it didn't happen. There's a vision. What's our vision? What's the future? What does the future hold? What does Tisha B'Av hold? Do we really believe that Tisha B'Av could be a Yom Tov this year? Can we turn it around? It's hard to believe that. Could be this year, more than ever, people are more ready to believe it, or they're less ready because they've already been burnt out because they were expecting Mashiach to come on Pesach and he didn't come, and then Shavuos and then didn't come, and now people are more burnt out. Or it could be, no. Things have been shaken up so much. I'm so ready for Mashiach to come this year, more than ever before. And people are feeling different things. Could be you're feeling both. Yeah.
I'm saying the Jews are not that bad. But why hasn't it come?
We'll get there. Yeah. That's the next step. So we are, Shabbos Chazon is about vision, it's about future, it's about let's look forward. What could be accomplished in the next few days? What could be accomplished on Tisha B'Av itself? What can we try to do to build properly? How can we envision a better future? Shabbos Chazon, we're not in the Churban yet. It's not too late. It's not too late. Okay, so that's why it would be a Nevuah. Why this Nevuah? What's Yeshayahu telling us that's so critical? Especially for all generations, right? Who was the last one to... Did you bring a karban after having blood on your hands recently? No? Did you worship a Vodazar recently? I'm trying to call people out. Mechila. But over here, a lot of these Averis, we looks like we didn't do. I didn't do that one. I've done a lot of bad things. I didn't do this one. I wasn't Sodom, I don't think. I didn't cut off my guest's ankles. I don't think I did that. Right, I didn't do Berachas Kohana with bloody hands. I didn't do that. So obviously, we have to look deeper into the words of Yeshayahu and see what he's telling us. And just we don't have too much time, but to follow up on some points that we mentioned, Yeshayahu, what is Yeshayahu talking about? What Averis in particular, or Chisronos in Avodas Hashem is he talking about? He gives a lot of detailed examples, but there's one really one core one theme.
Forgetting Hashem.
Where do you see that? Or forsaking Hashem, turning away from Hashem. Yeah.
Like not knowing, like a donkey, you're worse than a donkey or an animal because you don't know.
Okay, so not knowing Hashem. But aren't, what do you mean? They're doing things. They're doing, like, they're bringing karbanos, yeah? Insincerity, very good. Insincerity. In Bein Adam Lachem or Bein Adam Lachavera? Very good. So that's the big thing that's going on here. Because they're doing things. And they're saying, come on, we don't, look at us, we're not so bad. We have karbanos. Yeshayahu's guy, you guys are doing terribly. Hashem hates your Moadim. He hates your Shabbosos. And the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And they say, Yeshayahu, listen, buddy. The Beis HaMikdash is fine. It's never been touched. Just try to put yourself in their shoes. The Beis HaMikdash has, since it was built, like we know that it's built, it's destroyed. That's what we know. But they didn't know that. That wasn't the reality at the time. The Beis Hamikdash is fine, and we're fine. We're doing everything. We're bringing karbanos, aren't we? Look how nice I am when I'm at this board meeting or I'm at this, you know, this cocktail party, and I'm so nice and polite to everybody around me. I'm a really nice person. I'm a really great guy. I'm phenomenal at Beinon L'Chavero, and I'm awesome at Beinon L'Mokum too, because I daven, and I put on tefillin, and I, even on Sundays, and I'm chayav in tefillin, and I do that, right? So there are so many, you know, points that say, oh, look, we're great, we're doing fine. And Yeshayahu says, Hashem can see through it. Hashem can see through it. Hashem can see that you're insincere in your avodas Hashem. He sees that because you know how we know that? It's not enough to be nice to people of power. If you're nice to people of power, even on your own level, but the orphan and the widow, the weak, who have no one to defend them, and if you wrong them, no one knows and no one cares, then it's not like you get half credit for Beinam al-Chavero. You get nothing for Beinam al-Chavero. Because all your Beinam al-Chavero is self-service. Why are you so nice and polite and kind to the people who can help you? Because the people can help you. But people who are weak, like the orphan and the widow, they don't have money, they don't have anyone to defend them, you can easily take advantage of them, and you don't help them out, you get a zero, an F, in Beinam al-Chavero. You fail. People are taking advantage, perverting justice, bribery, court cases. Where's your Beinon al-Chavero at? Only when it serves you. And you know what else? Also in Avodas Hashem. People are going to say that I don't bring a karbon. No, of course I bring a karbon. Of course. Of course I go to Minyan 2-3 times a day. Of course I do that. I would never go to this place. I'm not, right? But how sincere is your Avodas Hashem when you actually get there? And not that you're trying. Not that you're trying and you're struggling during davening and you're trying to have kavana and you're getting distracted. Like, Hashem, please, help me connect to davening. Not that. Where you walk in and just, okay, whatever. Am I shuffling long enough? Yeah, people looking. Yeah, good. Right? Making sure that your Avodas Hashem has nothing to do with Hashem at all. And these chesronos, this emptiness in Avodas Hashem, is going to result in the Chorban. It has to. I'll explain why it has to in a moment. I'll explain right now. Because what that means is that all of our external actions, all of our Avoda that we show, is really just a shell. It's hollow. It's empty. There's nothing really there. The Beis HaMikdash, when we are living a life of Avodas Hashem, living, breathing Torah, Bein Adam L'Chavero, Bein Adam L'Makom, doing everything with sincerity, so Hashem says, this is my house, we are living together. This is where you come to meet me, this is where we have a conversation, this is where we have a relationship. And nobody can touch it. Not the Babylonians, not the Romans, not the Greeks, nobody can touch the Beis HaMikdash when I am there and we have our relationship. It's an impenetrable fortress. However, when you hollow out your Avodas Hashem, when your Avodas Hashem, Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero, is empty, it's a shell, it looks like Avodas Hashem, but it's not really. It looks like you're a nice guy, but you're really not. It looks like you're a caring woman, but you really don't care at all. You just have to put on the show. Then you know what else becomes an empty, hollow shell? The Beis HaMikdash. Because the Shechina leaves, and there's no relationship. And Hashem says, okay, I'm moving out. Call me when you change your ways. Hashem moves out. Now we just have a big stone building. Stone can fall. The Babylonians can come and destroy that, and they did. And then the Romans can come and do that, and they did. Because when it's an empty shell, the Shechina is not there, there's no protection. And we need to make sure that our Avodas Hashem is real. And there's something of peer pressure that's helpful. There's positive peer pressure to help like encourage us. But there needs to be an aspect of our Avodas Hashem that we're confident is real. There has to be, we have to be working on it. And you know, in some ways, the things that are probably hardest in our avodas Hashem are often the most real. You know, when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, right? So, I mean, we're working in camp. When nobody else is looking, how are we treating our campers? When nobody else is looking, no one knows how good of a counselor we're going to be. The division head doesn't see. Right? The person at the other side of the mechitza doesn't see. How good of a counselor are we now? If we're zocha to have grandparents, how often are we calling them? I can't tell you how much I'm giving myself most of right now. How often are we calling our grandparents? People we hang out with, though, we're hanging out with them, just want to check in, how you're doing. That person's probably fine. You know that person's probably fine. The person who really needs a call is your own grandparent, if you're blessed to have them. Or your parents, if you're blessed to have them. Because there's certain relationships that we've already got them in the bag, so we're not worried about them. So and there's something to gain from the relationship. As opposed to relationships that there's something to gain from, popularity, whatever it might be. But the people that are already, I already have them, right? My grandmother, she's always going to love me no matter what, so I don't have to call for 6 months, and she's still going to love me, so I don't need to work for this relationship. So that's an insincerity in the relationship. And that it reflects on your entire Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And the same in Bein Adam L'Makom. We're trying. I know we're trying. I'm trying. But Klal Yisrael as a whole, this is something that we have to work on. And I'm not saying it. Yeshayahu's saying it. And it was something back then too. Because they had the Beis HaMikdash. Do you know what that means? They had a Beis HaMikdash. They had Karbanos. They had Eretz Yisrael. They had Yerushalayim. Nobody could stop them. They didn't have all these anti-Semitic, you know, things going on. They didn't have the challenges they have. They had like this, like what seemed to be a perfect world, but the inside was so empty. The inside, it was just a shell of Avodas Hashem in every way, and the Beis HaMikdash became that as well. Yeah.
Why are we supposed to think that we could do better?
Because if you want to do better, do better. Because they never experienced Korban. They couldn't believe it. Yeshayahu was standing there, and no one was listening. And then the Korban HaBayis took place. Second one is, so you have to know a little bit more of Jewish history. Yeah, no.
It's different. It's a different situation.
No, but I mean, it's the same idea. We didn't by the Korban HaBayis Sheni, we didn't quite have Nevi'im anymore to guide us, and I don't know if they had Haftarah yet to give them proper guidance. But I mean, there was a lot of complications in the second Beis HaMikdash, and the second Beis HaMikdash was kind of meant to be temporary, and it was under the Persian rule, so it was different. But the third Beis HaMikdash we know is eternal, and that's something that we have to make sure that we're undoing the damage that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. So we can do it. Right? Yeshayahu tells us. He tells us that we can return, we can rebuild. We have many prophecies about times of Mashiach. All over Nevi'im, we learn about Mashiach. Chazal tells us all about Mashiach. Rishonim speak about it. It's brought down in all over Chassidus. I mean, based on the Kabbalah. But we know Mashiach is coming. We know that this is the generation, and also we know how hard it is, and Hashem knows how hard it is for us. He knows that we're from 2,000 years of Gullus, and we can kind of say, Hashem, what do you expect from us? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have this. But the answer is that even if we had a Beis HaMikdash, we could still be superficial. And we could still get it destroyed because of that. So now that we're really working on our Avodas Hashem, and we're saying, Hashem, we, and we'll try to inspire everyone around us, we are going to try to do a sincere Avodas Hashem. And at least in some places, it doesn't mean that you should give up any part of Avodas Hashem that's in public. That's also a dangerous thing. But to at least carve out some space in your Avodas Hashem where you're ensuring and you're being positive that there's sincerity and that it's genuine. In your relationships, helping out the widow and the orphan, whoever the proverbial widow or orphan in your life may be. that counselor, that waitress, that lifeguard, that childcare staff member who could really use someone to reach out. Someone who could use a friend. That camper at that particular time who could use a friend. The grandparent who could use a call from the grandchild. To do things like that, the smaller things that go unnoticed in Beinon Lamakom also. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, everyone should have their own things that are just between them and Hashem. To show, Hashem, at least over here, I'm trying to be genuine, I'm trying to be real. And with that, if we're able to do that, we're able to build worlds around that, worlds of beautiful, genuine avodas Hashem, Beinon Lamakom Beinon Lachavero. And if we're able to have this proper Chazon Yeshayahu, we should see this Shabbos, what it means to have a Yom Shekula Shabbos, the Menucha, Beis HaShem, Beis HaMikdash, Mehir Yireinu.
Amen.